Answers from attorneys on Ask the Expert are not substitutes for the advice of an attorney. Ask the Expert is a public forum, and questions and responses are not private or confidential or protected by the attorney-client privilege. Attorney is not your attorney, and any statement by attorney is not legal advice. You should not understand any statement in response to any question to propose specific action or address specific circumstances, but only to give you a sense of general principles of law that might affect the situation you describe. Application of these general principles to particular circumstances must be done by a lawyer who has spoken with you in confidence, learned all relevant information, and explored various options. Before acting on these general principles, you should hire a lawyer licensed to practice law in the jurisdiction to which your question pertains. Many legal matters are time-sensitive. You should act without delay in order to protect your rights and interests. By answering questions, attorneys do not form attorney-client relationships with callers.
The following Ask the Expert show is a paid advertisement provided by Aronson & Moss Law Firm, and airing of the program is not to be considered endorsement or recommendation. The opinions expressed are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of WMT or Clear Channel Media and Entertainment.
Good morning and welcome to Ask the Expert. I'm Jim Doyne. Along with me today, Rebecca Feiereisen. She is an attorney with Aronson & Moss Law Firm. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jim. Good. How are you?
Nice to see you this morning.
Me too.
Now, it seems like every attorney likes to practice in a certain area, and that's their expertise, and yours is?
Family law. I've been doing solely since about March of 2012. Mm-hmm. I've always done family law since I graduated from law school in 2007, but focused only on family law for about the past 2 years.
Which includes?
Divorce, custody, child support, changing those around as things change and we need to modify, even adoption in some cases, although more rarely for adoption.
All right. Now, this morning, we're going to talk about how custody can be changed and things of that nature.
Yes.
But let me put out the phone numbers first. If you have any question around this area at all, give Rebecca a call here this morning. She'd be glad to answer it for you. 365-0600, 1-800-332-5401, *600 on your U.S. cellular phone. Well, you know, you have custody arrangements that are made at the time of divorce, I'm sure, and
yep.
Then something happens and things need to be changed.
Yeah,
right?
Lots of things happen. I mean, we're talking, for custody, 18 years of a kid's life. And if you do custody visitation agreements for an infant, obviously that's very different than what they may need when they're 12, 13, or 16, 17 years old.
Now, does a child have any input in this at all if they're at a certain age?
That is a fantastic question, and one I get a lot. There's no hard, well, in family law, period, there are no hard and fast rules, very few of them. So there's no hard and fast rule on that as well. Generally speaking, as the child gets older and more mature, their opinion matters more. I know some 12-year-olds that are way more mature than some 15-year-olds. So it's not a pure age analysis. And it comes into their reasoning, right? I tell people all the time, you know, if a kid comes to court and says, I want to live with mom because she lets me stay up until midnight, the court's not going to agree with that
necessarily. I would agree.
So it depends on their reasoning behind it, and it'll depend on the judge. Some judges just don't want to hear the kid because they feel like kids are easily manipulated or have bad reasons, and some judges want to know what's going on. So it really comes down to the very specific case.
Now, change can also involve support, can it not?
Yeah. So we're talking not only about custody, who has the kid when, but we're also talking about how we're paying for the child. Child support, we've discussed in weeks past how that's established. It's based just on income and who has the kid when. So as incomes go up and down, child support may need to be adjusted as well. Kind of part and parcel with the support issue is out-of-pocket expenses for not only medical care they may need, such as glasses or, you know, doctor's visits, but also, in some cases, paying for sports and extracurricular activities as well. You know, and we usually do that based on a percentage, 50-50, 75-25, that sort of thing. So we may change that as well. And, you know, who claims the kid on taxes may or may not get thrown back on the table, depending on those change in circumstances. You could understand if one parent starts earning triple, they may need that or be able to use the tax exemption more. Or if somebody doesn't have a job at all, they just don't need
it. They can't use the support as far as an exemption is concerned for both of them in some manner.
Exactly. Like, the kid can be claimed by one tax payer each mm-hmm. year. So we got to figure out who's going to claim when two parents have a right to it. There are some IRS rules about that, right?
Sure.
So we have to operate within federal and state law for taxes. But short of that, you know, sometimes both parents can claim, and we have to figure out in what, so we don't double claim them, because that creates a whole different mess.
What does support include? In other words, if one has it and they're paying support and they've got the child, and then all of a sudden they need new clothes, new coats, new whatever, you know, where does that come in? Under the support, or is that extra expenses?
The general rule is under support, but it does depend. In cases where people have 50-50 or joint care of the child, child support's very low. Because they assume, not zero, but low, because the court will presume that when you have the kid, you're going to feed and clothe the kid. So when it's 50-50, they much more think you're splitting those costs evenly. Daycare is usually on your own in 50-50. You just do what you incur during your time, clothes, maybe even school lunches, that sort of thing. So that's why support gets low, where in a traditional, like, one person has visitation scenario, they assume that the custodial parent's taking care of a lot of that.
How amiable is this for most? Or is it really a kind of a bone of contention?
A modification? It runs the gamut. I have clients call me and say, hey, we've agreed to this, but we really need to put it on paper because child support recovery or something else needs to see it in writing, or we agree now, but I'm afraid we won't in 6 months. And some people come in and just say, listen, this has all gone completely the wrong direction. And we got to fix it, and she's going to fight us every step of the way, but we got to do something.
I see. So, now, what can't be changed? We talked about a little bit about what can be changed.
Property division cannot be changed during a divorce. So things like who gets the house, how we split the retirement account, even down to who gets the couch or the car, can't be changed. But there's a limited set of exceptions to that rule. For instance, if there was fraud, somebody lied about what they had or what it was worth, duress or coercion, so somebody forced you, you know, either at gunpoint or threatened you or something, then we can reopen the case and say to the judge, you know, that original agreement wasn't fair because of these really big problems, and we should throw it all out and start over. It's very, very hard to do. And in very rare cases, a mistake, right? So if the lawyer just omitted something and nobody caught it, or if we wrote down the wrong thing or the wrong year of something, we need to change it, we can do that. But on some level, the other side may say, that wasn't a mistake. We did that on purpose, and you just didn't catch us. So that's why it's rare.
But that's almost a separate issue as opposed to child custody and things, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely a separate issue. But, you know, people will call me and say, hey, you know, come to find out 5 years later, I do want part of his retirement. And I have to say, sorry, that ship has sailed. Like, that's not something I can change. So, yeah, really focus on the kids. You know, we didn't mention, too, spousal support. So paying the mother who has to stay home with the kids some sort of, like, stipend, basically, to take care, continue taking care of the kids, just money to her. That can be adjusted up or down as well.
Interesting how that works. What is the process? I mean, what do you have to go through to make these changes?
It depends very much on what we're changing. Let's start with the hardest first. So we're going to briefly talk about how we change physical custody. That's the biggest deal one. That's where the child sleeps over 50% of the time or less, depending. So the person with what we call custodial care, just who gets the kid most of the time. We have to prove a significant change in circumstances since the last order was entered. Significance bigger than substantial, so it has to be a pretty big change. And we have to prove that the person requesting custody now is the superior parent to the other one, not as good as, better than. So it's a pretty high bar to set.
Boy. A lot of, and of course, they need you, right? They need Rebecca Fireisen to help them out.
I certainly think so.
Well, now, tell everybody, it's Aronson & Moss Law Firm. How do they reach you if they would like to talk with you further?
Sure. They can reach us. Our phone number is 319-363-8199, or you can check us out on our website, which is aronsonlaw.com.
And you're located right here in Cedar Rapids.
Right downtown in Cedar Rapids.
Very good. We'll come back and talk more with Rebecca Fireisen in just a moment. This is 600 WMT.
600 WMT.
Welcome back to Ask the Expert. I'm Jim Doyne, along with Rebecca Fireisen. She is an attorney with an Aronson & Moss law firm here in Cedar Rapids, and we're talking about family law, which consists of child support, and we're into the child support now after the divorce, right?
Sure, yeah. Well, in general, changing things that happen during the divorce.
Right, so they can they do this anytime?
Yeah, they can. Custody visitation gets changed when you have the right change in circumstances. For some people, I have one that came back 6 months later. Something huge had changed. We needed to mess with visitation a little bit. Some people don't need that for 5 or 10 years. But with child support, and we'll get more into this in a few minutes, when child support recovery reviews, they'll only do it like every 2 years. But you can hire a lawyer to do it whenever something changes.
I see. Very good. So you need to go back to court and get it all done, right?
Yeah, unless you can agree. I mean, we're big settlers in family law. We love to have everybody come to an agreement. And that's why we do mediation and all sorts of, like, are you sure you want to go to court sorts of things. But in general, yeah, court's where we're headed.
Do most agree? I mean, do you find that most people finally get to an agreement without going any further than they have to?
Most, yeah. I would say, I mean, I've been scheduled for maybe 10 trials this year, and I've done one of them. So I would say 90% is rough on who settles, but it's not fun.
Let's talk about visitation now and explain, first of all, what it is and then what has to be changed if they want to.
Right. So we were talking before the break about changing custody, and, and that's, to me, where the kid sleeps most nights. Now, visitation would be somebody who already doesn't have the kid most nights. So this is your traditional, like, every other weekend, one evening a week sort of situation. And that they just want to change what night they have, how many weekends they have, maybe increase summer. So the changes are less, I'm going to use the word significant. They're just kind of shuffling things around and not really arguing about who's a better parent. So we don't have to do that analysis. Instead, we have to only prove a significant change in circumstances instead of a substantial. Those words don't really mean anything except to say that you don't have to prove quite as much change in order to change just visitation. One example that's built right into Iowa law is relocating more than 50 miles away is a reason to go back in and say, you know what, we can't really do this visitation this way anymore. This is not, it's too much travel time, so we need to kind of tinker with it to make it work with more distance between us.
How does that affect, then, the child support? In other words, if somebody's only getting visitation as opposed to having them sleep over, now, does this happen most of the time that you have one parent that ends up with the child, or do you have it maybe 50-50?
I would say 50-50 is getting more popular.
Oh, I see.
Both in terms of people understanding that's better for the kid to see both parents equal time. And the court understanding that this old stigma that dad doesn't take care of the kid is going away with the times. That's just not the situation we all live in anymore. So they do tend to prefer it more often. Child support does get thrown back on the table in a lot of these cases just because as you get more overnights with your child support goes down because you have to feed them more and clothe them more. But not always, because there are stair steps. So you have to hit a certain number of overnights before your child support drops, and then the next one. So it doesn't always affect child support.
Talk a little bit more about this 50-mile radius type of thing, because, you know, if that's how is that really affecting if you're going to have the child?
Well, the theory is the reason we need to tinker with it is because, you know, that's an hour on the road. So if you have 6 to 8 p.m. on Wednesday night, really you have to hit the road at 5.
Okay, so you usually have specific times, is that what you're saying?
Exactly. And, you know, where people move farther. Like, I have a client whose ex is thinking about relocating to Wisconsin, and he gets every other weekend and one evening a week. He's never going to get those evenings if she moves to Wisconsin, so we have to figure out a different situation for them.
If they change states, does that present another problem?
It does, actually. The state where we do these sorts of cases, litigation, it's dependent on where the child lives. So if we she relocates to Wisconsin, Iowa still keeps the case for 6 months. But once the kid's in Wisconsin for 6 months, Wisconsin kind of says, okay, it's our turn now. Most states have the same set of rules on that. Some don't. So you always have to check and make sure everybody's laws match. But the bottom line is, in 6 months after this woman moves, I'm going to lose this client because I can't practice in Wisconsin. So I'll have to send him off to somebody who does.
Is there any way that she can be prevented from moving?
Well, that's what we're doing. You can't really stop a person from moving, as you can imagine. The court's not going to tell you where to live. But they can tell you where to have your kids. So we just say, you go. Leave the kids here. And
I
then
see.
We have to fight with the court over whether that's going to happen or not.
That's kind of interesting. That presents a problem or two, doesn't it?
It's a big mess,
Yeah, something like that. Let's talk about, you mentioned CSRU. Now tell everybody what CSRU means.
So that's the Child Support Recovery Unit. They're a branch of the state of Iowa. They're actually a branch of the Department of Human Services. And what they do is they collect and enforce child support on behalf of both individuals. You can hire them privately to collect your child support or reestablish it. I mentioned every 2 years you can ask them to review it. But they also recapture state funds that have been expended. So if a child's on Title 19, Medicare, or on it's called FIP, Family Investment Program, where the parents get cash to help raise their child. The state says, well, the other parents should be paying part of that, and they'll take the child support to reimburse themselves for those money that they've expended on that.
Well, who pays for the medical insurance? We passed that one up a bit ago. Who pays for the medical insurance?
That gets figured into child support. We usually pick the person that has the best insurance cheapest through work. So if somebody doesn't have it through work, obviously the other parent does it. If neither, then somebody just either privately buys it or hops on, like we were just talking about, state support, and then we just kind of pay cash toward it.
I see.
So we just do our best to figure out who's got the best plan.
Now, you always have to pay the court. Is that right? You don't pay each other. I mean, you always have to go through this.
Yeah, there's two ways to pay your child support, neither of which involves writing a check to your ex, because that's how they lie and say that they didn't get it. You can either have it come directly out of your paycheck. Your employer will send it through collection services in Des Moines, and they'll issue a debit card to the other parent and kind of load their debit card every month, and that's how they get their money. Or the person can write a check through the clerk of court, written to their ex, but given to the courthouse. They'll make note of it and send it on to the other parent so that somebody else is keeping track that who they paid, so we don't have the constant fight of how much got paid.
I see. So this is pretty much the way it goes, though. You have to pay the court or pay somebody so that you've got...
Yep.
Now, what happens if they just don't? I mean, do they come after them?
Oh, yeah. So what happens in a lot of these cases, I'll have somebody come in and meet with me that says, you know, I've been paying my ex directly for a year, and all of a sudden Child Support Recovery says I'm a year behind on child support. And I have to break it to them that now Iowa law thinks all that money was a gift. And they weren't paying their child support. They were, in fact, just giving their ex money and not paying their child support. Then you have to go into the court and try to prove that was your child support and get them to give you credit, which works sometimes, but it's a big risk.
Yeah.
So it's just, it can be done. It's a really bad way to do it. Don't do it.
So the best way to do it is?
Through the clerk of court or out of your paycheck directly. And out of your paycheck's easily done, but really needs to be done by a lawyer. So.
Things happen and people go out of work. They don't have a job. All of a sudden, there's no child support coming in. So is that kind of added up? And
Oh, yeah. It gets added up. And sometimes interest gets added, and then at some point the state starts stealing every license they can get, including your driver's license, fishing license, professional licenses. So just staying in touch with your ex and the state and doing the best you can is, I mean, in those tough situations where you genuinely can't pay, that's the best you can
do. And this state thing that we're talking about, they step in and actually solve some of these problems. Is that the idea?
Yeah, they do step in and do a lot of these problems. They are mostly there to make sure everybody's in line with state law. They really don't want to vary from the law very much. So you may need a lawyer during those processes if your situation's different. I have a client, for instance, who is a construction worker, mm-hmm. and he's the general contractor, and so they don't make allowances in the law for those sorts of people that have expenses like that come out. So he hired me to kind of sort out child support recovery in the unique situations.
There's so much to know here.
There is.
And if people would like to know more about this, they should call you, right?
Yes, they should. Yeah. They can reach us at 319-363-8199. Our website is aronsonlaw.com, and all our email addresses are accisible on there.
And you're Rebecca Feyerisen, and you work in family law.
I do.
And this is something that you've been working in for several years now, is that right?
Yeah, I think, 7 years?
7 years, yeah. So, well, that's great. And so you're the one to call if they need your help.
I sure think so.
All right, very good. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
You come back and see us soon. Will you
I
do
will.
That? You're back.